And good morning again. Today I want to talk to you about hearing what I hear. Not necessarily what I hear, but what we talk about when we sing the song of the little drummer boy, and we talk about and hear about and sing about what was heard so many years ago when the promise of a Messiah and a Savior, that talk began to spread throughout that area of the world. And it was as if people said, something's coming that saves me from myself. And then it got extrapolated into saves me from my decisions, my choices. All I've got to do is bow down and worship, and everything is taken care of for me. It was almost like living by proxy. And this baby that was soon to be born was going to revolutionize the world in ways that I don't think anybody at the time could have understood. I'm going to say that I don't think even today, if it happened, we'd properly understand what it meant to have the birth of innocence in form, incarnate, and for that presence to say, you are innocent as well. You are a living, breathing child of God. It's very tempting to get wrapped up in the Christmas story. It's a wonderful sentiment at this time of year, and I've said that I love it, and I love the decorations, the trees, the presents, the people, the food. But all of this is a symbol for something higher and greater. Very soon this year, we celebrate the birth of a child that would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. People were expectant, as we are expectant. Human nature hasn't changed very much over the period of these thousands of years. Our technology has shrunk us, but I don't know that we're any more together, truly, than we were then. Oneness is a difficult concept to describe for a minister or for anybody. What does it mean when we ask questions like, did you hear what I heard? Did you see what I saw? Did you understand it the way I understood it? Because we each have individual personalities. And information comes to us through filters that we have created by the opinions that we have formed about what has happened to us. So therefore, when the folks heard that a child was being born that was going to be the Savior, many different opinions were formed about that. But it seemed like if you took it and put it all together, it was somebody who was going to take the burden of choice and life out of our hands, take care of it for us, and we can be left alone. And that's a very human desire. The desire to escape or walk away from things that may be difficult and challenging. But in truth, we have a different understanding of the birth of the Christ child. We honor the fact of his lowly beginnings, born to very poor parents in a very desolate part of the world, in a place where he wasn't very well understood, and where he grew from boyhood to manhood with a great chunk of time missing. There are many ideas about where Jesus was from 12 to 33, or 30 rather. I've read many accounts of it, and I still can't say for sure. But I do know that at some point between being a boy and growing into manhood, there was something that happened where he realized the truth of his being, where he transcended his humanness and yet became fully human and fully divine and became our way-shower. And said things that flew in the teeth of the Jewish law of the time that the Sabbath was more, people were more important than the Sabbath, that joy was the purpose of his being here, abundant life was his purpose, and that finding the kingdom of heaven inside each person was the purpose of his life. In the counseling field, we say perception is reality. When somebody comes to me with an issue or a problem, it's always through the lens of their perception, how they have seen the problem or the challenge. And if I do my job well, I help correct that sight if it's not working for them. And I correct it through a series of questions. And I'd like to pose a few of those to you today. What does it mean to you? What do you hear inside? What resonates with you when I ask you what the truth of your being is according to Christ Jesus? What does it mean for you to be at home with yourself? And we all have those times where we sit down, take a deep breath, release the cares of the day, and we're just us. Now, when I do that, I wouldn't particularly like for you all to see me, because it's usually in jeans, a t-shirt, a few cats, some music, and those moments that I wouldn't trade for anything, because I just can let it go. And sometimes I think that the Christ Spirit is more present with me during those times than when I'm doing something clerical or ecclesiastical. I feel it. It's with me. I access it. And through what I hear and enjoy, I know that it is made resonant and it's consonant with a spirit that's inside me. But it's not only at that time. The Spirit flows through consistently. I hear what I hear all the time, except for when I pay attention to something out here, when I want to judge something out here, when I want to place my precious darling opinion about the way things should be out here, instead of correcting my own ideas and perceptions about what I want to see out there. It's been said that angry people live in an angry world. Loving people live in a loving world. We find what we look for. And the wonderful thing about Jesus was that he looked for the very best in people. He brought out the best. He affirmed the best. And 2,000 odd years later, we're asking ourselves the question, what does it mean to live this out? Well, I think the first thing that I would like you to know is that self-care, your home, who you live in, your body, is a precious thing for you to walk through life with, to be healthy, to be happy, to be feeling abundant, is a very wonderful way to walk into whatever life has for you. And the way to do that is to think thoughts resonant with that intention. It really begins up here. And that was brought home to me very much through Emmett Fox's 7-day mental diet. He said it wasn't so important the food that you ate. It was important the thoughts that you believed. And if they were negative, they needed to be jettisoned as quickly as possible so that you could live the life more abundant. You see how it comes back to you. Emmett Fox also wrote a pamphlet called The Wonder Child, which was talking about what I am today, the birth of Christ Jesus in us, in you and in me. You see, it's a wonderful thing to celebrate what we do today. But it's also something else and something wonderful to go out of these doors and be examples and beacons of hope to those who need it. And when we take care of ourselves through self-care and through honoring our deepest needs, commitments to ourselves, the love that we have for ourselves is expanded outward to others. You see, a loving person begins to build loving relationships, and those relationships begin to touch other people. That's how change starts. Fiat, or rule, works for traffic and mathematics and many disciplines that we have in the world, but not love. Love is something very unique and individual. It's been said by Oscar Wilde, "The love I feel for you is secondhand. I felt it first." So you see, it's always an inside job. John Powell of the Society of Jesuits wrote a book some years ago called Happiness is an Inside Job. I think that priest was ahead of his time. It was a wonderful book, and it was very consonant with unity principles. And I find that the more people come to an understanding of the God inside them, the more that they are practicing the principles that we have in unity. You see, I think we got it straight real quick when the Fillmore started this movement, when transcendentalism and an understanding, a true inner understanding of Scripture came to us in the mid-1800s. I think it's incumbent on us today to find out how to take those ancient truths and mold them for the life we want to lead. So when I ask, do you hear what I hear? I'm really asking you, do you see your life and the lives of your loved ones as you want them to be or as you are afraid they are? Because what we focus on expands. And I'm also going to make a little jump right here and say it's very difficult to choose upsides on a round planet. In other words, we have to remember in oneness that I spoke of earlier that we really are all one. We are one in the body of Christ, but many different expressions, many different individuations of personality. And that's wonderful. It's fine to have preferences. It's fine to have desires. It's wonderful to express your unique personality. Where we get into trouble is when we think we are completely separate from other people. They don't understand us. They never will. I'm too hurt. I'm too damaged. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be with the people. That happens. Hurt, angst, upset, fear, sickness. These things come first, I believe, from a sense of separation or forgetting who we are. If I do anything today, if I say anything today that you can take home with you, I want you to know this. You are sons and daughters of the Most High, and you have a heritage to hear inside you and walk to inside you the music that you hear and the path that you are given. And anyone who tries to control that, diminish that, take that choice away from you, make that choice toxic for their own purposes, is quite simply wrong. Good people, good friends, good teachers bring out the best in you. They're not going to concentrate on the things that you wish hadn't happened or the mistakes you made, etc., etc. They see you as you are. They love you. And that's exactly what this baby 2,000 years ago grew into for all of us. He saw us as we could be. He said, make these choices and life flows better for you. Judge not that you be not judged. Matthew 7:1. It's very simple. And the judgment, unfortunately or fortunately, begins here first. We first have to go negative inside. So you see, the judgment really affects us first. The person feels it second. We've already said who we are inside to ourselves. It's one thing to point out where somebody could do something different or better. I've had that. And sometimes you just have to own it. And sometimes you have a lot of reasons as to why that may have been. But even if you say it, it still has to be corrected. And the correction is turning in the direction of what is healing and healthy and whole. It's said that psychotherapy and counseling sometimes dwells on the problem. And I know what that means. It's as if you look backwards long enough, you can somehow change the reality of what happened. But that has to be a thought system of another planet, because as far as I know here, you can't go back and do something different. You can't unblow a horn. So there is an acceptance of hearing what you hear about your past and telling yourself a different story, a different narrative. You can at least say, I didn't know then what I know now. I feel like I want to correct. You see how you're upholding yourself and affirming yourself instead of saying, I was horrible. It was terrible. I'm stuck with it. I have to live with it. There's nothing I can do. Those are hopeless, demeaning words, never once uttered by Christ Jesus, never uttered by the Buddha, never uttered by the enlightened spiritual teachers anywhere in this planet. It was always about now and what's coming up. Those that want to look to your past, even if it's you, are looking at something that is unalterable, incontrovertible, and can't be changed. So what we do properly is make peace with it. And how do we make peace with that? Through the concepts we live by. There's a great group here in Bernie, Concept Therapy. I don't know a lot about it, but I do know some. And they talk about the concepts that we live by. They see life as a day-to-day thing, a choice-by-choice thing, and I love that. And I highly recommend Thurman Fleet's book, Rays of the Dawn, because it dovetails so much with what we say in Unity. There's so much similarity. We're all trying to get more life, new life, better life. So if you hear what I hear and what I want to say to you, then I think life's going to work better for you, because I see you as perfect and wonderful sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the challenges that you face and the things that you're going through right now that you think are going to break you are really designed to make you. This universe is a no-lose thing. It's set up for us to win. Why is that? Why do I know that? Because that's what every scripture and every holy person has ever said through inspiration, divination, scribing, always about now and newness. Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now. Raymond Charles Barker of Science of Mind, The Power of Decision. You see, it's about now. I can't do anything about 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 500 years ago. It's all equally gone. But I can make a different decision right now. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear the voice inside you that calls you up, makes you stand a little taller, walk a little faster, feel a little brighter? Take on those challenges that are yours to take care of in a different way, in a way that affirms the truth of your being. And now this really gets to the meat of what I want to tell you today or share with you today. Your truth is yours. And there are certain facts about you that are true. You are an age. You are a sex. You are a color. whatever it may be, those are facts. The truth is, we're all one. No matter how different we look on the outside, we're all one. Jesus looked out over the city and said, "Father, I pray that they may all be one." I think his prayer was affirming that. Through our oneness, we can understand and give space and direction and forgiveness to others we think aren't doing it just right. We can see them as part of the human family, doing about the best they can given their knowledge and awareness at the time. There are some things that we properly don't understand in this world, especially the acts of meanness and cruelty and pain and heartache that some people seem to inflict with relish. I don't understand that. But I do know that in the heart, as Dr. Emily Cady says, in the heart of even the most depraved person is the God seed ready to spring forth and bear fruit. What wonderful promise that is. The promise that no matter where you've been or what you've done, you can hear something new. And you could hear it by lowly listening. Emerson talked about that voice. We access this by lowly listening. Carlyle said, silence is the element in which great things fashion themselves. Basil King said, be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. So in this moment of meditation that you may have through the day or the choice you're going to make, I'm going to challenge you to be bold about your home. Here and here. This is where you live. The thoughts you think will produce some way or another in your life, and they'll manifest. Your personal home is you. This is your spiritual home. You're with like-minded people that love you. I know that because I've seen the love for years here between people, and newcomers who walk through this door say they're just blown away by the love and the care that we share and that is so much a part of us. And I know that when we build better us, we can take it out to the world and make a difference. This year, one of the things that I want to do, the intention that I have for Unity of Bernie, is the idea of welcome home. Because this is our spiritual home. This is the place where we're fed, where we meet, where we love and laugh, sometimes cry, but it is home. I would love for people outside these doors to feel the love that we are. So as we talk about welcome home, I'm also talking about the home here and radical self-care and listening and loving and honoring yourself. And then I'm talking about taking that outward. I'll be talking about welcome home more as the months go on, but I wanted to tell you just a little bit about it today. To me, it's very exciting. It's been said home is where the heart is. And our hearts here are full and joyous. I accept and affirm this to be true about all of us. So I'm not so much concerned about building a new structure. I'm not so much concerned about even the numbers. I'm concerned that people are touched by who we are. My job is to take a consciousness that I see before me and live that out. Help others live that out. Help you live that out. In other words, if you hear what I hear, then you're on the same page. You know how special we are. You know what we have to give. But it starts with us. Through this year, there will be spiritual, intentional workshops. mission statements that are personal that you fill out that are extremely personal to you about what you want to do, see, be, these things that build a better you through self-care. It's a welcome home to yourself. And when that's done, you can say welcome home to the others that would come through our doors. Not that we need more love. Our intention should be just to be the very best we can be. It's been said good is the enemy of better, and better is the enemy of best. And I think we're the best, and I still think there's a way to improve. I've seen it. I know you all. And I feel like I'm ready to lead into the next chapter of Unity of Bernie's history, and I'm so honored to do it. And these things that I've talked to you about today, welcome home, and its attendant promises and ideals, they'll be worked out as time goes on. There'll be something that we can look back on and say this was a flashpoint of consciousness where we took a step higher. I invite you to take a step higher yourself. Last year, when I gave messages, I talked greatly about expansion. I talked about the expansive consciousness, the abundance, and the prosperity that was ours. This year, I want to talk about the love of self, the care of self, the honoring of self. These things are the hallmarks of a changed life and a changed world. It's been said, I don't want to do much, I just want to change the world. I'm a dreamy-eyed screwball idealist. I really am. I believe that the best parts of life are the things that happen that are unexpected. I spent about an hour walking in the dark around the Silvery Lake with two congregants here, and I was alive to my very, very fingertips and tips of my toes. Cold, wonderful, unexpected. Those moments that you photograph in your mind and you go back to, it was great. I want you to have more of those moments, whether they're in here or out there, wherever they are. What lifts you, what inspires you is something I want to know about. Something, if you don't want to tell me, that at least you'll live out, that you'll at least give yourself a chance to grow in another direction, no matter your age, no matter what you've been through, no matter any of those human perceptions. Today is new. You'll get out of it just what you put into it. And if you've made mistakes, even serious ones, there's always, always another chance for you. Because this thing that's called failure is not the falling down, but the staying down. And I don't think there's anybody here that wants to stay down. Now, I'm ready to stand with you. Welcome home to you. Welcome home to this church. Welcome to your new life. How may I assist you? Do you hear what I hear? The birth of a child 2,000 years ago is coming. The birth of you comes the minute you accept it. The birth of our collective consciousness comes when we purpose together to give of what we are. I look forward to it this year. It's going to be an exciting year. It's going to be a memory-making year. We're going to do great things. And you're going to do great things. And I affirm that for each and every one of you. I give thanks for you. And I affirm and uphold your highest best. That you hear inside what I hear about you. Powerful, wonderful, loving sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so it is.